Families who adopt or raise children with disabilities often share a rare blend of resilience, compassion, and advocacy. Many families feel a calling to care for children who might otherwise be overlooked. These families often describe the experience not as rescuing a child, but forming mutual love and purpose. The child brings as much joy and growth as they receive. Hi, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. And joining me today is Bernie Elliott. And Bernie and his wife, Kristen, have opened their home and their hearts to children who were born with Down syndrome and other special health needs. And today we're going to talk about their journey, the joys, the challenges, and the faith that guides them in raising and adopting children with unique challenges. Welcome, Bernie.
Thank you, Sonia. It's a joy to talk with you.
So tell us what first moved in your and Kristen's heart to begin this journey of welcoming these children into your home.
Yeah, so early on in our marriage, we wanted to have children, and Kristen got pregnant, miscarried our first child, got pregnant again, miscarried our second child. Again, not that long of a time, got pregnant again, and there were early signs that she was going to miscarry for a third time. In the midst of just the grief and the process and disorientation of that, we began to just talk about maybe the Lord doesn't have biological children planned for us. Maybe we need to think about adoption. And I don't think either of us really knew much about adoption at all. In fact, we searched the internet, and I think the first thing we came upon was international adoptions. And at that time, I think they were 30 to 40,000. And it was like, okay, we're going to have to push pause on that idea. In that process, we also found out about domestic adoptions through foster care and another actual site called Adopt US Kids that lists kids that are freed for adoption from different circumstances and backgrounds. But actually, at that time, the Lord preserved our third child, and she was our firstborn, Mariah. 18 months later, we had our secondborn, and then just shortly after that, before my oldest daughter was three, we had our thirdborn, and adoption kind of got put on the back burner. Several years later, we had our fourth biological child, Ezra. He was born through some difficulties. It was one of those weird things where, having been through three births, I know you don't see the doctor till the very end. You barely know there's a doctor there. He shows up, delivers the baby, and he's gone. Probably 6 hours in the room, he sat with us. So I knew something wasn't quite right. Ezra was born and got to see him, and he was such a joy. And they immediately said, we need to whisk him up to NICU. About an hour and a half later, the neonatologist came down and asked Kristen and I, when did you find out that your son had Down syndrome? And we were like, well, right now. And honestly, for me, that was God's gracious kindness to me. If I could just back up for myself personally, I had never been exposed to, been around, been in relationship with anybody with any sort of special needs really in my life. In fact, during an internship I did, a pastoral internship while I was in college, they had a VBS for adults with special needs. And it terrified me to no end. At every opportunity there was for something to be set up or a task to be done, anything that diverted away from interactions with the participants in that VBS, I jumped on. I was ready to go because people with special needs terrified me. And I don't know what it was, but I got a chance to meet my son and look at him and find joy in him and then find out that this boy that I had just fallen in love with had Down syndrome. And so I was able to fall in love with my son apart from a label. And I think if we had known throughout the pregnancy that he had Down syndrome, I mean, it just would have produced anxiety within me. So it was God's grace that we didn't know. I mean, we still would have had him joyfully, but it would have produced some anxiety in me. And found out, boy, special needs aren't that big of a deal. I mean, He went through some surgeries. He had two surgeries in the first year of his life, but God was gracious to us and it's like, okay, we can do this. And so that's when we decided not only did we want to adopt, but because this was so manageable, let's adopt kids that a lot of other families that are adopting might not want. Let's adopt a child with special needs. And so we got certified to be a foster adoptive home here in Onondaga County and immediately inquired and was matched with a young girl that was freed for adoption in New Jersey. She was just over two and a half at that point with profound medical needs. She had a chromosomal translocation and it left her unable to walk, to talk, to eat. She was freed for adoption for over 2 years and nobody wanted to adopt her. And we just thought, wow, we'll take this little girl. And our kids were super excited about it. And we prayed for her every night until we got her. That was the journey that led us to want to adopt, specifically to adopt and bring in kids into our home with special needs.
What was that adjustment like for your family when you started adopting?
So they were the biggest fans, cheerleaders. They were in many ways more eager than we were. Obviously, when Faith, then another little girl that we ended up adopting, Kylie, who originally was placed in our home as a foster child, when they came into our home, there was a lot of care that had to happen. It was amazing to see how the Lord worked in my kids' hearts to serve these little ones, love them as if Kristen had given them birth and brought them home from the hospital. There was a lot of things that needed to be done with all their medical needs. Like, we actually needed their help. And so in many ways, God used that to mature my three oldest kids in ways that other kids just don't get the opportunity, like I didn't when I was growing up. There were trying moments. So when we brought Faith into our home, and there was a period of, I think it was 30 days, 30 straight days, Faith was hospitalized. That was tough on the kids. So we had a lot of in-home care from other people for our four biologicals that were at home. And then the one foster placement that was at home, Kylie. Again, they stepped up and did a bunch of the care. My oldest daughter was, I believe, about 9 at the time. And she learned to start cooking through this process. And my 9 and 8-year-old started doing laundry in this process. What a gift that was to them to mature in ways, again, that other kids might not have had the opportunity. I'd say some of their childhood was robbed from them, the typical things we think of as childhood. But there were gifts of inestimable value in their place in terms of life and perspective that were given to them. And again, I don't think they'd go back and they'd say, yeah, we'd trade that all day long.
I'm sure it helped them to develop a compassionate heart as well.
Absolutely. My wife and I were just talking yesterday. My son is a freshman nursing major, and he is, I mean, again, I'm the dad, so take this for what it's worth, but he is one of the most compassionate, big-hearted young men I know. Again, I think that's because that was a part of our home. They look for those who are, I guess, marginalized, those who are left out, those who are despised by the world's standards. It's been a joy to watch what God's done in our biological children through caring for other kids.
Yeah. You mentioned some medical challenges that can happen with raising a child with disabilities or with Down syndrome. What about emotional, financial, and social? Were there challenges in those areas as well?
I think definitely it's stretched our family. Again, long absences where Kristen or I were away from home, and that produced some anxiety in kids. They don't understand. And so they're not fully aware of what's happening. They just know they haven't seen one of their siblings in, you know, 2 weeks or 4 weeks. I think in the home that creates a bit of unrest. Socially, throughout raising our kids, especially because of Faith's peculiar medical needs, there were a number of things that were kind of curtailed for us as a family. So there were certain vacations we had to cancel last minute because Faith had to go to the hospital. And so we just had to scrap all the plans last minute. There were holidays we missed out on with family. I missed my grandmother's funeral. So I think there are those challenges. They're a tough pill to swallow. There's no sugarcoating that. But I think, again, the joy in it in some ways overshadows the difficulties.
So share with us the joy that you all experienced.
So all of our kids with special needs, they have different personalities. It's like, you know, anybody who has two or three kids, you can't believe they're actually yours and came from the same two parents. They couldn't be more different. And say for my daughter, Faith, who had all the significant cognitive and physical needs, her life honestly was kind of miserable. She was often chronic, significant pain. The joy was being able to lay next to her, and when she would see me, she would grab my head with two hands and give me a kiss as best as she could give me a kiss. There are a few things greater in life than that. My son Ezra, who's one of our biological, he's 14 with Down syndrome. I tell people all the time, I wish I could live life as he sees it. He finds joy in everything. I actually asked him last week, Ez, do you ever have a bad day? No, Dad. And he just, honestly, he'll find joy in something no matter what's happening, what perspective he gives us.
Now, Bernie, you mentioned earlier when you and Kristen decided to adopt, you sought to adopt kids who had disabilities or special needs. Well, what would you say to encourage others to adopt a child with special needs?
I would say you will not regret it. It will fill your life with joy and gladness. There will be times of incredible frustration, disorientation, pain, fatigue, but you will not regret it. They are such a gift to the family. I know there's a lot of hesitancy, even when parents find out. My wife is talking with a woman, not a Christian. She just found out her child has Down syndrome, and she's thinking about aborting this child. And my wife has been talking with her and sharing our joys and pleading with her not to abort this child. But I think for that woman, the scary label, Down syndrome, oh, what kind of life is that? I thought my kid was going to do X, Y, and Z. I thought my kid was going to be smart. I thought my kid was going to have some sort of appearance that I wanted. I thought my kid was going to be able to perform on the field, on the court, you know, in the studio. And when those things are taken away, that seems scary. But what an absolute joy it is. I thought all those things, that identity was wrapped up in appearance and intellect and performance. But our kids with special needs, God used them to completely reshape me. So I would just encourage you, if you're even considering it, please do. You won't regret it.
Well, again, my guest is Pastor Bernie Elliott. And Bernie, thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing your story. You and Kristen are living examples of love and action. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Sonia. I appreciate it.
This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackays Road. That's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.